just what is the deep state, and how exactly do we drain the swamp?
It has been the privilege and the honor of a lifetime for me to serve as a member of the United States Congress, serving as the first woman ever elected from the state of Minnesota in the capacity of being a Republican. It's an honor, and it's the ride of a lifetime. Over 90%, in some cases 95, even 98% of all stories against Donald Trump have been hostile, negative, and most of them baseless.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour we begin a two-part series with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. In this broadcast, Jan's conversation with Michelle will surround all the issues of what some have called a silent coup toward our president. You'll find this discussion with Michelle both insightful and hopeful. Michelle will be with us today and next week. There'll be lots of topics to cover, so let's get started. Here is Jan Markell.
I believe, Todd, we're in a coup d'etat. I believe there are people in this country who are wanting to destroy the president and take over the government by force. They're not going to be using bullets, but they're using the media to plant thoughts in people's minds that he's incompetent, that he's dangerous, you can't trust him with nuclear weapons, he's mentally unstable. All of these thoughts they're trying to put in people's minds so that they can wrestle control of the government away from Donald Trump. We need to be praying for the president, and we need to pray for Mike Pence. We need to pray for those that surround the president, that God would protect them and keep them safe. And I believe that he's the president of this nation because God allowed it. And I think on election night, God intervened. He wasn't supposed to win. He was supposed to lose. And I think it was God that worked in a mysterious way that night, on election night, to turn the tables. And so we need to ask people to keep praying for this man. And I'm going to pray for him. He's not perfect, but he's our president, and we need to support him all that we can.
And welcome to the program, where we help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. We'll talk about that little soundbite in just a moment. I begin a two-part series today with someone who has become one of my most popular commentators and guests, Michelle Bachmann. She served in state politics here in Minnesota, moved to the U.S. House over a decade ago, ran for president in 2012, and we'll give you an update on just what she's doing now as we move into the programming. And we're going to be talking about news and headlines that are not being shared to scare you, but to remind you that many issues we talk about on this program are foretold in the Bible. They are signs of our coming redemption. And Michelle Bachmann, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you. So much fun to be in the studio with you again.
A little soundbite with Franklin Graham talking about a coup, and you and I were talking a little bit off air. We're talking about deep state, about the swamp. I'll play another clip a little bit later, but before we get into a lot of other discussion, I do want to ask you about Donald Trump's first year. Heritage Foundation says more accomplishments in Donald Trump's first year than Reagan's first year. Tell me your thoughts after just over a year now.
Boy, phenomenal. In fact, I've had people say to me, you know, I thought I liked Trump. I won't say that anymore. I love Trump. Mm. And it's because the word that I use for him is that he's a disruptor. Mm-hmm. He has disrupted something that needed to be disrupted. That's the bubble in Washington, D.C. And he's done it for the better. And he's done it all, Jan, while he's had the full frontal force of a hostile media against him. In fact, you've seen polling numbers that have said that over 90%, in some cases 95, even 98% of all stories against Donald Trump have been hostile, negative, and most of them baseless. So he's had a very difficult time to progress what he's wanted to do, but it's amazing the turnaround, and especially for issues that believers care about.
True. Now, in my lifetime, Michelle, I've not seen the polarization left versus right, conservative versus liberal, even liberal versus Christian. I've never seen it so intense as it has been in the last year since the election of November 2016. And again, the onset of what's been called Trump derangement syndrome. You know, I don't care what it's called. The fact of the matter is the left will not accept the results of that election. And the pushback, I've never seen anything like the hatred is palpable.
Right. It's irrational. And I think, again, that is biblical because there are various passages in Scripture that talk about just irrational levels of hatred. We see that between Palestinians and Israelis. Mm-hmm. It's been just irrational hatred coming out of the Arab world against Israel. It's bizarre. But we see it here in the United States, too. And all we can know is that the more that we stay with the true plumb line of truth, that brings about the greatest amount of happiness and effectiveness in the world. And I think when we see people hold on to delusions and lies, what the Scripture says in Romans 1 is that we are given over to those delusions.
That's true. Some of that comes out of Romans 1, where we're given over to a depraved mind if we reject God. But it seems to me, and my goodness, you were in Washington for, I think, 2007 through 2013-14, which...
For 8 years, yeah.
But as I perceive things, the left's only purpose right now is obstruction. I mean, they hate the idea of American exceptionalism, and they seem to only want to hurt the American people. And yet nobody on the left can see this.
Well, obstructing legislation from going forward, but destruction is
That's really what they've been about.
And they were swimming along pretty happily. It didn't bother them that under President Barack Obama, there wasn't one year where we consistently had 3% level of growth, which is what a nation needs to have. It didn't bother them that we didn't have it. It didn't bother them that black unemployment was skyrocketing. None of those numbers bothered them at all. All they cared is that they were putting forward their, quote, progressive agenda,
right,
which has a lot to do with socialist agendas, and that's all they cared. But now here we have a situation where the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the stock market has seen, and it was reported today, a 45% level of increase. So you're seeing the American economy take off like it never has. Over this last year under Donald Trump, there was over a 3% level of growth for the gross domestic product. That means the entire economy has expanded by that much. And in fact, Jamie Dimon has said that we may have reached 4% yet this year. So we're seeing a real turn in the economy, which means from the lowest person in the United States financially all the way up to the top, all boats are rising. And as a matter of fact, as we're recording this week, Jan, for the very first time, 90% of Americans are going to see an increase in take-home pay beginning this week. I'm going to repeat that. 90% of Americans. Those who aren't seeing the increase are the top of the top. Those people are doing pretty well. They're not going to see any increase. But the bottom 90% of Americans, which means just about everybody, is going to see an increase. And what all that means is there'll be more growth, more jobs, more pay incentives. I mean, you've seen that where whether it's Walmart or Apple or Home Depot, corporations all over America, literally millions of Americans are getting a $1,000 bonus, as well as they're seeing increased amounts of money in their paycheck because of tax cuts, and also the standard deduction is doubling.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio a familiar voice of Michelle Bachman, and we'll talk about what God has called her to here in the present and the future in just a little bit. I want to play a soundbite. I want my audience to better understand what's known as the deep state, what's known as the swamp. And I want to play a soundbite of Monica Crowley and come back and talk to you about what we've just heard.
Why has the swamp? And remember what the swamp is. The swamp is the ruling class, and it's comprised of the elites on all sides of the political spectrum. Why has it always dominated? We sort of take it for granted. Why has it always dominated despite repeated attempts by noble patriots over many years to try to chip away at its monstrous power? The short answer is that the swamp controls all the levers of power in this country. And they have the capability and the will to destroy anyone and anything that threatens its grip. The swamp is the perfect embodiment of Lord Acton's warning that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There are so many other adages that we can apply to this epic cesspool of money and power and status and influence, all contributing to the supreme human and institutional corruption that we see in Washington, D.C. It's everywhere, and it's so daunting. It is a tsunami that comes and crushes anybody in its path. It's elected officials on both sides. It's the establishment on both sides. Their staffs, the media, federal bureaucracies, special interests, lobbyists, even some in the deep state who are supposed to only be focused on America's external threats, and even some in law and law enforcement who are only supposed to be interested in applying equal justice under the law. They've all become corrupted. And this ruling class has dined out on this rotten status quo for a long time, until now. Because finally, this country has elected someone not of, by, and for the swamp. Someone who owes them nothing and does not fear them.
Michelle Bachmann, don't you think that sort of summarizes what's happened in Washington in the last year?
Oh, yes. Monica Crowley has nailed it, because the problem is these are civil servants.
Yeah.
And they are insubordinate to what the voters have elected. The voters elected Donald Trump to get rid of Obamacare and do a number of things. And those who are protected by the unions, they're public servants, supposedly, but their union makes them virtually non-fireable. Doesn't matter what they do. We've all heard the story about people in the EPA, for instance, who would come to work, and it's gross, but they'd sit in front of their computer and watch porn all day. Mm-hmm. And you can't fire those people? I mean, it's unbelievable the way the system is set up. So these people don't care. They don't care who their boss is. They don't care who the president is. If they're a committed leftist, they see that their whole job is to make sure that they turn the country towards socialism. That is corrupt.
How much of the pushback, how much of what Monica just talked about, and she was very clear that it's both sides of the aisle.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Republicans,
yeah.
Democrats, yeah. Et cetera. But how much do Obama holdovers play into this?
Oh, tremendous. I mean, they're protected for life. And so in some ways, I've mentioned to you Valerie Jarrett, who is the senior advisor for President Obama. In some ways, I think that she still is running the country in areas where she can, because the influence that she or other people in the Obama administration, or just leftists in general, they still communicate with people who have jobs that are paid for by your tax dollars, but they can't be fired. So they're insubordinate to the President of the United States, and we'll probably get into this later, but with this whole issue of Israel, once President Obama did the ultimate disruption and designate Jerusalem as Israel's capital and take that phony issue off the table, at the State Department, they were so outraged by what Donald Trump did that they were even asked by reporters, well, how is this going to change the State Department? If someone is born in Jerusalem, will you write on a birth certificate, Jerusalem, Israel? No, we're not going to do that. How about on passports? Will you now put on the U.S. passports, Jerusalem, Israel? No, we're not going to do that. In fact, the deep state said to the reporters, nothing's changed. Well, everything changed. Everything. The President of the United States has the authority to make that designation. And yet these insubordinates at the State Department have decided, hey, we're the president. We're in charge, not you. So that's exactly the problem that Monica Crowley's describing.
Yeah. You know, I think Americans at this point, they're weary of this endless mantra of Russian collusion, of dossiers.
They should be. They're smarter than the media. It's a fake story, and they see through it. There's not one bit of evidence. It's been like a year and a half.
Yep.
There's nothing there.
I mean, but it seems to point to, I mean, corruption again in high places, et cetera. You know, I find myself, Michelle, I hardly turn the news on anymore because I know the first story is going to be about dossiers and corruption.
It will be if you turn on CNN. CNN.
Well,
it's sickening. Fox, I'm in airports and I watch this nonsense day to night, and it's like, come on already, get a creative thought.
Yeah, I know. So, but that's infected almost all branches of media. There's some truth still online, but you got to go searching for it. You and I know where to go, and a lot of people don't know where to go. So it gets back to this deep state thing again. And again, I think Americans are sick and tired of it. But even the corruption within the FBI, I mean, it's shocking. It's disappointing.
It's more than shocking. Yeah. This really should take people's breath away.
Yes,
and
it should.
When I was in Congress, this is what I saw under the Obama administration, was the corruption of the Department of Justice, specifically the FBI and other departments as well. But just think about it. That's really the benefit that the United States has had for years and years. We observe the rule of law, and all people are to be treated equally under the rule of law. We're not a perfect country. It hasn't happened perfectly. Have there been like racial issues where people have been treated differently because of the color of their skin? Absolutely. That's happened. That's an injustice that has to be rectified. But never have we seen the level of corruption that we saw under the Obama Department of Justice and in the FBI. And now we're finding it out, because now these text messages are showing, people who were working hand in hand with Barack Obama. Now get this, the FBI was trying to defeat Donald Trump as president, as a candidate, when he was running. And so they made up this fake, phony story. Yep. They tried to pretend that Trump was colluding with Russians to throw the election when there's no evidence. And even the FBI agents between themselves and their text messages were saying there's no there. In other words, there isn't anything. There's nothing for us to prosecute. And yet that didn't even stop the FBI. They went ahead and used phony, made-up charges. Hillary Clinton paid $12 million for a fake story that was made up to pretend that there was collusion with the Russians. She paid $12 million, and that fake, they call it a dossier, it's a memo. Yeah. That fake memo apparently was the basis for a judge to give a warrant so the Obama administration could go spy and listen in to the phone conversations of Donald Trump. So when Donald Trump and his people and his team, when Donald Trump said, I'm being spied on, he was absolutely telling the truth. Now we know that it's true. This is against the law. It is against the law for the FBI to do domestic spying, and they had a fake reason to give to a judge. That judge should be outraged that he was given phony evidence. That's all illegal. And I'll tell you, Barack Obama is the one who should be investigated right now. He or whoever ordered this fake investigation should be in jail for doing what they did.
And now we're hearing talk of some secret society. I mean, this gives images of a cabal meeting in a dark, smoke-filled room somewhere. Could this be possible?
Well, and that's terminology that the left used. Yeah. That's their terminology. And what they were doing is they were colluding. They colluded with the Russians. So
yes,
what they
did.
Were accusing Donald Trump of doing, Hillary Clinton, her campaign team, her legal team, they were misusing the instrumentalities of government to defeat a political opponent. What does that say about the lack of confidence they had in their own candidate, Hillary Clinton? They didn't think that she could win legally on her own, so they had to have what they called, quote, insurance policies to take down the opposition candidate, Donald Trump. This stinks to high heaven. That's the so-called deep state, and these are people who are protected because they're government employees and they're protected by their unions, and they can virtually never be fired. And that's why I think this is a serious issue. And I mean, everybody believes you should have decent wages and benefits and all that. It isn't about that. But I'm telling you, these public employee unions have gone so far that people can act against the best interests of the taxpayers. They can even break the law, and still they have jobs. Yep. That's got to stop.
When I get back, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about Davos. It was a couple of weeks ago now, but you talk about a globalist paradise over in Switzerland at Davos, and Donald Trump again kind of broke the mold. When I get back, we'll talk about that. Michelle Bachman in studio with me. And folks, this is going to be a two-part series. This is part one today. Next week, we will continue it. So don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
You've joined us for part one of a two-part series on Understanding the Times with special guest Michelle Bachman. If you'd like a recording of today's broadcast, we suggest you wait until next weekend. to order the entire series. When you order, dial 763-559-4444. Again, the order line is 763-559-4444. You can also download this program free of charge. Just visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, and click on the Radio Archive tab. Every weekend, we bring you the best communicators who understand the days in which we live according to God's Word. One of our needs at this ministry is for people to pray. We covet your prayers that God will continue to lead and direct our media team. We also need more financial partners to help us reach America with the kind of information you're hearing today from Michelle Bachman. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts sent to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Just a heads up here to save the date for Understanding the Times 2018. This year we will gather at Grace Church just outside Minneapolis on Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Speakers include Amir Sarfati from Israel, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas. They will help you discern the times and make sense of today's chaotic headlines. They will help you see that today's headlines are not harbingers of doom, but rather signs of our redemption. That's Understanding the Times 2018, Saturday, September 29th, near Minneapolis, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll give you updates right here on this program, online at olivetreeviews.org, or through our print and e-newsletter. Save the date and don't be left behind.
Hello, everyone. This is Bill Solis, the founder of Prophecy Depot Ministries, and I've been honored to be a guest on Jan Markell's radio show, and I listen to it on a frequent basis. She covers so many different diverse topics, not only prophecy, but dealing with the signs of our times and the political things that are going on, with excellent guests. I've seen her show grow from several hundred radio stations up to, I think it's 830-some now, if not more, because people are interested in this show. I highly encourage you to listen to Jan Markell on a frequent basis.
What I would say is that the news media should do a penetrating expose and take a look. I wish they would. I wish the American media would take a great look at the views of the people in Congress and find out, are they pro-America or anti-America?
In the midst of many friends and many family members, to announce formally my candidacy for President of the United States.
And I believe that if we are going to turn our country around and take back our country, we must do so united.
On Understanding the Times Radio today, you're listening to part one of a two-part conversation with Michelle Bachman. We know you're enjoying the discussion, so let's return now to Jan Markell and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachman.
So they're trying to turn this into Watergate or Iran-Contra or whatever it is, because that's what Democrats and liberals do. And what they're really trying to do, as I've told you day in and day out from day one, this is a silent coup. Whether it was the Electoral College and the popular vote, whether it's blocking his cabinet appointees, whatever it is, this is a silent coup. By silent coup, I mean, you know, no gunfire or anything of this sort. But that's exactly what's taking place here. It is a silent coup. I've been saying that since the beginning of his presidency, again, challenging the legitimacy of the Electoral College, violence in the streets, violence on Inauguration Day, unleashing these investigative committees almost out of the starting block, Schumer and others demanding a special counsel on Russian collusion. And obviously, there's no Russian collusion during the course of the election with the Trump campaign, because there have been no charges to that effect. No crimes related to that have been charged.
And welcome back. And again, this program is always posted to my website Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org. You can go on over to oneplace.com. Listen online there as well and get their mobile app, and the program will be automatically downloaded to your app every Saturday morning. Get a CD. I recommend you get a CD of these couple of weeks with Michelle Bachman and hand them out to friends and family and coworkers who just don't have any access to the kind of truth that we hope to be sharing. Now, I gave a tease in my last segment that I wanted to head over to Davos. Davos, the story is now a couple weeks old, but what a story it was at that time. Davos is the economic conference that's held every year in Switzerland. And Michelle Bachmann, it is a paradise for globalists. And again, Donald Trump was the troublemaker. He informed everybody there that America is open for business. He let it be known that he, Donald Trump, is not a part of the globalist gang. He is a part of the America First. Well, he's the leader of it anyway. And I'm sure you were watching that story as it was happening not too long ago.
Well, it's marvelous to see that because, as we know with the example of the European Union, there was an effort to pull together all of the European countries in a one economic system. Once you have a one economic system, then you have to have a one political system to govern that economic system. That's what all Davos is. It's an effort to have a one world economic system. And once that happens, then by virtue of the fact of chaos, you have to bring order to chaos. You have to have a one world political system. So we're all being conditioned and manipulated to accept a one world economic system. Donald Trump went over there as president of the United States and said, America's open for business. We've lowered our taxes. We've lowered our regulatory burden. And everybody come and invest in us. We're interested in America. You can play all your games here with one world economy that you want to, but we're going to move forward with a capitalist free market system and we're going to roar. It was just great. He came in as the ultimate disruptor to this one world economic system, and he gave exactly the right message.
And Franklin Graham opened up this entire program with an appeal to pray for President Trump and Vice President Pence too. When you start messing around with the globalists, as Donald Trump has done, I fear for his life. I really do.
Well, that's why we have to remember to continually pray for our president, because there are people who are so unhinged and irrational. They'll do anything to remove Donald Trump from office. Why? Because he is not going down the globalist one world government system, the system that is communist and socialist and abiding by those principles. He's very different. He believes in the traditional system of the American Constitutional Republic, which is refreshing. Thank God that he does. You had two clips here that you played so far today. One from Franklin Graham, one from radio host Mark Levin. Both of them talked about this issue of a coup or a soft coup.
Right.
I think it's important that your listeners know what that means. That's a political term. And a coup means someone illegally removes the current government from office outside of the electoral process. That's what effectively what we're talking about. By lies in the media, you and I talked about this, Jan. The fact that your listeners are being played right now. The American people are being played. By that, I mean we're being manipulated by the nonstop dinge of the lies in the media about Donald Trump, what he did or didn't do during the campaign, what's happening in government right now. They're absolutely unhinged. And after a while, people just want to live in peace.
Right.
They tune it out. They can't take all of this nonstop hatred, hatred, hatred. They don't know what to think. But what we need to realize is that, you know, as I had said before, about 95% of what you hear in the media is negative about Trump. And yet, if you look at the statistics, as you also referenced from the Heritage Foundation, his report card rating after 1 year in office is out of control with how the economy is improving. Growth like we haven't seen in over 8 years, 45% increase in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, people's wages, 90% of wages are going up. Donald Trump has done more to advance the pro-life cause than any other president ever. He has done more to advance religious liberty for all Americans than any president ever. He has designated Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That's extremely important. He's the first leader in the world to do that, and he was followed by President Morales of Guatemala, the only two countries in the world to do that. Why is that significant for believers? Because Donald Trump has put our country, the United States of America, in a position of blessing, according to Genesis 12:3. We will be blessed. That is a promise of God Almighty. And for all of these globalists who wanted to bring America down because they want America to come down so we'll be like all the other countries of the world so they can advance one world economies and one world government, that can't happen when you have a strong, free America. And Donald Trump is taking us in the direction of a strong, free, secure America.
Well, something that isn't pleasing his base a whole lot, and I'm not sure we know exactly how it's going to play out, and that would be the situation as it concerns DACA, that stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Let me just read a couple of lines Gary Bauer wrote recently about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. The White House put an immigration reform deal on the table. At first glance, it includes many ideas that polled well in recent Harvard survey, help for DACA recipients and the diversity visa lottery, as well as a $25 billion scheduled for serious border security measures. Moreover, the White House describes as an extraordinarily generous concession. The plan goes well beyond the DACA recipients, which presents many additional concerns. The left is outraged because it does not want to limit immigration in any way. It does not want to end chain migration. It does not want to secure our borders. The left wants open borders. It wants millions of future progressive voters to pour into the country legally or otherwise. And then Bauer concludes, progressives see illegal immigrants as dreamers while they castigate American citizens as deplorables. Now, when Donald Trump ran for office all of 2016, one of his big promises, of course, was a wall, etc. Immigration was huge and all the things he promised. And yet, apparently, he's going to cave when it comes to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, otherwise known as DACA. We've got Breitbart, Ann Coulter, and others saying we're being betrayed. Your take on this, please.
Well, I don't like what I'm reading either, because it looks like Donald Trump is going 180 degrees opposite of what he said during the course of the campaign. But one thing we have seen with Donald Trump is he will say one thing, then he'll say something about the opposite, then he'll whip us back to what he said originally. And this is just, for the last year, this is what we've seen. This is, he's contributed in part to this instability, but it may be all a part of his negotiation style. I don't know. But I do know it's weird, because the number one thing that people cared about when he ran for office, as a matter of fact, it was his opening speech when he ran, he talked about the problems of illegal immigration, and they are real. Illegal immigrants are extraordinarily expensive to the taxpayers of the United States. They cost us a lot of money because they require a lot of government services, far more than what they pay in taxes. And a lot of crime has also come along with illegals. Not all, but a lot of crime has. That's a whole new box of issues to have to deal with. But where does Donald Trump land on this? Nobody really knows. I think what we have seen with Donald Trump, what he originally says, he ultimately delivers. And so I'm going to do a 1 Corinthians 13 and ultimately believe the best here, that that's where the direction that he is going to go. Because the biggest problem that the American people have is they're concerned about our border, the fact that illegals continue to pour in. We've had more amnesties in our past. Every time we have an amnesty, more illegals pour across the borders and we have more problems. So this doesn't solve anything to have an amnesty. So I'm not sure where it's going to end up. Yeah. I do know people are really mad.
Well, Tucker Carlson weighed on this. I think he said it rather, I think, appropriately.
Amnesty for DACA recipients is the only leverage the White House has. Once the president agrees to let them jump to the head of the line, ahead of millions of other people hoping to come here legally, the negotiation is over. At that point, why would Democrats agree to anything? Ending chain migration, the diversity lottery, supporting a merit-based system that might actually help America? No chance. The Democrats' goal is to import more Democratic voters, and by any means necessary. Once they retake the Congress and the presidency, and if Trump betrays his base in immigration, that'll definitely happen. It is over. Say goodbye to borders. They are done. Keep in mind that the top Democrat in the House recently thanked illegal aliens for sneaking into this country. That's how Democrats feel, and they're not pretending anymore. Being a Trump voter isn't always easy. It's like rooting for the underdog in baseball, the old Chicago Cubs. On one level, there is pride, the pride that comes from doing something that fashionable people consider insane. But there's also some disappointment along the way, and honestly, there's some embarrassment. But you silently bear it because you know that when they finally win the World Series, it'll be worth everything you went through. Every sarcastic dig from your brother-in-law at Thanksgiving will seem small by comparison. In the Trump presidency, the World Series is this immigration bill. It's the big payoff. It's the whole point of the exercise. And they're not allowed to blow it.
I thought Tucker summed it up fairly well.
Beautifully, yeah, because truly the number one issue is the political party, the Democrats, they want to be in power. That's it, number one. And they realize that the average American voter will not keep the Democrats in power because the average American voter doesn't want redistribution of wealth. They want to have growth and opportunity. So what do? They import voters from socialist countries who will vote for socialism. Mm-hmm. So this is all about an impenetrable voting block for
That's
the
right.
Democrats so they will be in power. Because ultimately, they're lazy. They don't want to have to campaign to win elections. And so they want a voting base that they can count on. And I'll tell you, it's stunning. If you look at the polling data of people who pour in from third world countries, what their voting records are, for multiple generations, they are consistently voting for the Liberal Party. Why? Because they come from socialist countries, they are dependent upon government services, and they want more of them. So if we want to be Venezuela, then you import more Venezuelans
right.
and we'll turn to more socialism. And it's clearly this is a taxpayer-subsidized voter registration drive for the Democrat Party. Bottom line, that's what it is. Trust me, if these were pro-life, Israel-loving, religious freedom-loving Republicans
right.
who are pouring in south of the border, they would be down there with the bricks and the trowels, and they would be building the wall because they wouldn't want Republican voters in. This is simply about gaining Democrat power and having voters to keep them in power.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio Michelle Bachman. And I'm talking to her. Well, we're going to be doing a two-part series. This week is part one, and talking a little bit about the dysfunction in Washington. But I've got many more topics up ahead here to hit. And we talked a little bit about Davos. We want to talk about Mike Pence in Israel and some other issues. And I also want to get to the fact, Michelle, that Hawaii had a false alarm scare about a potential nuclear missile attack. I want to ask you a little bit about national security. But first, many were hoping, praying, encouraging you to run for Senator Al Franken's seat. And you've decided not to. You're not going to go back into the swamp.
Well, I'm not going to run for that office. You're right. I had a lot of people contacting me, people wanting to give me money and be a part of my team to run for a campaign. And this would have immediately overnight turned into a national election. It would have been a big deal. But what I did is I did what I've done on every other time I've thought about running. I just took it to the Lord in a very quiet way. I took it before the Lord. I prayed. I tried to have my ears open and hear what God was saying to me. And I considered it for quite a long time, from the very first day when Al Franken had announced his resignation from the U.S. Senate, I went before the Lord. And it became very clear to me that I wasn't hearing any call from God to do this. And every time I've run for office before, I've always prayed because it's a significant impact personally and on my family. And so I've always prayed and tried to seek out what God's will for me would be. And each time before, I've had this inner sense that I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to run. It doesn't mean a guarantee that I'll win, but all it means is that's what I sensed in my spirit, that God wanted me to run. I had absolutely no sense from the Lord at all that I was supposed to run this time. So it wasn't like, you know, a big desire of my heart that I would run or I wouldn't run personally. I just had no sense from the Lord that this is something that I should do right now. So I'm not going to do it. This would be a very big undertaking to run for this office. And I would be delighted and happy to do it if I felt like that's what God was calling me to do. I just don't have a sense. And without that sense,
right.
I can't do it. So I'm very thankful, very happy, very thankful. I'm not upset in any way about it, not running or running. It really is immaterial. Yeah. I just don't have a sense that that's God's will for my life.
Well,
right
and
now.
We need to talk a little bit about what you are doing, and we will do that before this two-part series is over, because you are kind of entrenched at the United Nations with some rather incredible stories that you've shared with me personally, and we'll get there because we've got a two-part series going on, folks. Encourage you to get a couple of CDs and pass them on to people you care about who don't have access to the truth. And you can give my office a call anytime. We'll get a couple of CDs out to you, and you need to wait for part two next weekend to finish, and then we'll have those CDs. Michelle was one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2015 and 2017. We have complete sets of CDs or DVDs available from those activities as well. When I get back, Michelle, I want to ask you about a couple of things. I want to share an article that was in Newsweek magazine, and the headline of this particular article is "Trump Will Start the End of the World, Claim Evangelicals Who Support Him." And that's kind of how we're pegged, as wild-eyed, crazy people who are literally going to bring about the end of the world, which, quite frankly, is probably okay with us because that means the rapture and the hope of heaven. But obviously, Newsweek doesn't understand that. But I want to get into that. I'm going to take a real short time out. When I get back, I'm going to read a paragraph from this incredible article, get your perspective on it. And it says, for his evangelical supporters, there's a sense that Trump's unlikely election to the presidency proves that he was chosen by God. Well, that's how I opened the program. As Franklin Graham said, clearly he was chosen by God. Anybody who watched on election night over a year ago now could only walk away with that kind of an impression. So we'll talk about it when we get back, folks. Don't go away.
Here at Understanding the Times, our ministry goal is to bring you the best insights to help you discern the last days and prepare you for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every weekend, from coast to coast and around the globe on the World Wide Web, this program declares our times are in His hand. As you hear Jan often say, things may seem to be falling apart, but are in reality falling into place. You can learn more about this ministry when you visit us at olivetreeviews.org. Many of you have been listening for some time. You've come to trust the reliability of what you hear here. If so, have you considered becoming a partner with us? You can do that by praying for us and with your financial gifts. We need your help to reach America with the inconvenient truth. Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. To give securely online, our address is olivetreeviews.org. In just a moment, Jan returns to conclude part one of her two-part series with Michelle Bachman. Please stay with us.
Thank you for being a part of the Understanding the Times radio family. I hear from many of you who long to hear the truth. Some of you do not have a home church, and others of you have lost friends and family because of your love of the truth. That's what this program tries to give out each week on almost 830 radio stations. Additionally, we had almost 2.5 million electronic downloads from our podcasting audience in 2017. You made that possible, and please consider doing the same in the new year. You can click and make a tax-deductible online donation at olivetreeviews.org or call us business hours, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can always send a tax-deductible check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. If you do, we'll visit your home regularly in the new year, and we'll await His return together.
The reason why we want Donald Trump in office is because he would be good for the economy. His positions on Israel were great. All of these various positions, and he's delivered on it. The left is going crazy right now because there's so much success coming out of the Trump administration. They have to bring up all these lies so that people will turn their back on him.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. To wrap up our conversation with Michelle Bachman, here again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. I hope you'll sign up for my print and e-newsletter at olivetreeviews.org. Want to become a CD subscriber? You need to call us on that. That's very cost effective. You get a CD of every program we do on Understanding the Times Radio. If you do write to us, and particularly if you send a gift, will you always tell us what station you're listening to? I gave a tease in that last segment that Newsweek magazine had a feature story with headlines as tall as you can imagine that Trump will start the end of the world, claim evangelicals who support him. Well, I have a fellow evangelical in studio with me for this week and next week, Michelle Bachman, and you are well aware of her history. She started out in Minnesota state politics, moved on to U.S. House of Representatives, representing Minnesota's 6th district, and then ran for president in 2012. And Michelle, I do want to make reference to this Newsweek story that Trump will start the end of the world, claim evangelicals who support him. And two paragraphs from this article, evangelical Christians overwhelmingly support Donald Trump because they believe he'll cause the world to end. Many evangelical Christians believe that Trump was chosen by God, that's how I opened the program, Franklin Graham, to usher in a new era, a part of history called the end times. Well, as a side note, he doesn't usher the end times in. They've been around for quite some time. Beliefs about this time period differ, says Newsweek, but it is broadly considered the end of the world, the time when Jesus returns to earth and judges all people. But evangelical Christians threw their full weight behind the decision. Currently, over half of all American evangelicals support Trump's presidency. They also support the announcement about Jerusalem. And then it goes on to say most evangelicals subscribe to premillennialism, actually not most because of the belief in amillennialism. And then they conclude, for his evangelical supporters, there is a sense that Trump's unlikely election to the presidency proves he has been chosen by God. Again, this is all Newsweek. He shouldn't have won the election. So the thinking goes, so the fact that he did and the victory that came only via the Electoral College, no less, just demonstrates that only God could make it happen. Michelle, you and I have talked about this election. We talked about it right after the election of November 2016, and what happened was a God thing. But another perspective here, and that is he's going to bring about the end times. Well, wish we had that kind of power and authority, but you and I don't have it.
Well, how arrogant and really how important does Newsweek think that believers are?
I know.
It is God who controls the times and the epochs. We cannot delay, nor can we advance his timetable. This is God's timetable. We agree that the book of Daniel says that it is the Most High God who lifts up who he will to positions of authority and takes them down. So we prayed, of course, we wanted to have someone in who would represent biblical values, even if in his personal life he lives a certain way. And I think that I'm extremely grateful that Donald Trump won. I don't know one person that I have talked to who is a committed born-again believer in Jesus Christ who has said to me, I want Donald Trump to win because he's going to bring about the end of days. There is no one who has said that. Only God has his timetable and his calendar. The reason why we want Donald Trump in office is because he would be good for the economy. His positions on Israel were great.
Right.
All of these various positions, and he's delivered on it. The left is going crazy right now because there's so much success coming out of the Trump administration. They have to bring up all these lies so that people will turn their back on him.
Well stated. And I want to hit one more topic here in this short segment we have. And folks, we're going to continue this next weekend. And you and I both, Michelle Bachman, have a burden for a subset of people on this planet, persecuted Christians. And I am just delighted that in the last year, actually more Christians who are fleeing the Middle East are coming in as immigrants than Muslims. You and I live in what's known as Little Mogadishu, Minnesota here, lots of Somalis here. But do you think, is it possible, and you're particularly with your United Nations role and all, you're able to get a better pulse on this than I have. Is it too late for Middle East Christians? I mean, again, more coming into America than Muslims right now. Is it possible that it's not too late for them?
Well, it's not too late for them. It's just a matter of where are they going to live. Christians have been chased out of the Middle East. It's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to be a Christian in Pakistan, for instance. Yeah. To be persecuted would be mild. To be killed is more likely what's going to happen. And that's what we've seen. With the rise of Islam, rather than being seen as a, quote, religion of peace in their backyard in those Muslim countries, they have literally chased out, persecuted, killed, and subdued Christians in those areas. When it comes to Jews, it's worse. Jews are being killed, and they've been driven out, so there's no Jewish presence in many of the 57 Arab nations that are over there. So then rather than displaying tolerance and an ability to get along, just the opposite has happened. It's been pushing out Jews, killing them, but then now it's pushing out Christianity. So think of this, the birthplace of Judaism and the birthplace of Christianity, we are seeing people who follow Islam pushing those other two faiths out. It's a very ugly place for Christians right now in the Middle East. Yeah. Thank God they're being allowed for the first time to come into the United States in a big way, because under Barack Obama's era, he was bringing Muslims, perpetrators, into the United States, and those who were the victims, Christians, were being forced to remain in these countries where they're persecuted and in some cases killed.
I think another area of intrigue here in this first year has been how the current administration has dealt with the media. I want to play a quick...
Which I love.
I know. I do too. I want to play a quick soundbite. John Bolton is actually attacking or attempting to talk sense to the leftist media. This happens to be about the Iran deal. If we don't have time to talk about it this hour, this program, we will next week, because the Iranian deal is significant. It could go away. But I just want folks to hear someone who's tackling the media and kind of throwing it back in their face.
Well, I want to come back to your comments. I'm going to be a little bit more direct here. I think what you said is offensive and inappropriate. You are a munchkin in the media, and you may have your opinions, but I think your job is to try and present the news accurately and not editorialize. If you'd like to tell me where you think the president has behaved in a way you disagree with, let's have an example of it, and I'd be happy to deal with it.
Okay. What in particular are we talking about? Are we talking about what's happening with Iran?
You said the president slips in and out of deals. What's your problem specifically?
My problem specifically is that we were talking about Iran. I was saying he wants to get out of the deal that the United States has done as Iran is concerned.
There's nothing slippery about that. It's entirely appropriate when a country realizes it's made a strategic mistake or circumstances have changed to get out of an international agreement. I can give you any number of examples. President George W. Bush, for example, quite correctly took the United States out of the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty so that we could have a national missile defense capability to protect against the likes of Iran and North Korea. That's not slippery. That's operating in the national interest. You think Britain is slippery for getting out of the European Union? Maybe you should call your whole country slippery.
Really, so
it's
Peter,
just uncalled
okay,
for. It's
said,
uncalled
Mr. Bolton,
for
we're going to come back to you in just a second.
Way.
Calm down. I may not be a munchkin, but I'm certainly
calm.
Beyond a little bit lower than
presence.
Average.
My point with you, to make it very clear, is that I think you're unprofessional. I think your comments were uncalled for.
Okay.
And maybe you think that's your business. Now, perhaps you'll let me finish this time.
Please.
I just don't think it advances. Thank you. I don't think it advances the cause of informing your listeners.
Okay.
Michelle Bachmann, I wish Donald Trump would take Ambassador Bolton into his administration. You think there's a possibility of that happening?
Oh, I think all of us have. I love John Bolton. I've known him for years. I think he would make a tremendous Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. He would make a tremendous head of the National Security Agency, and I'd love to see him in any of those positions. He was our former ambassador to the United Nations. He did a great job when he was the ambassador, and I think he handled himself very well. When you see the media going to the point of advocacy for the left nonstop, and when 95% of all of their questions are hostility to the Trump administration, you have to push back. So he handled that very well. Remember, with the Iran agreement, at least President Trump wants to act in the best interests of America and America's national security. That isn't what Barack Obama did as president of the United States. He has hurt American national security. Shouldn't that be something that the media should be devastated about, the fact that our national security was impaired under the hand of Barack Obama? Now we finally have a president who cares about America and wants to strengthen our interests. That's a good thing, and it's time that we push back, and I think munchkin is a good word. These are pipsqueaks in the media, and we cannot allow them to be elevated as if they're important.
We're going to continue this conversation next weekend, folks. Michelle Bachmann will be back, and we've got a lot of topics that we haven't hit yet. As a matter of fact, Michelle, Mike Pence was recently in Israel, an incredible experience over there.
It was a great speech that he gave. And before we go, just in case people can't listen next week, people wonder how they can get in touch with me.
Please.
And I am in the UN in a position of trying to bring a biblical perspective to the UN. People can find me at skylineun.com. So the word skyline, as it sounds, UN as the UN.com. SkylineUN.com. All my contact information is there, and I would love to have you on our prayer team. We're audacious in what our goal is, to bring a biblical perspective to the UN. We trust and are believing God that He is going to bring the gospel to the nations, and we want all of your listeners to join us, to be prayer partners with us in this endeavor. We're very excited about what God's doing.
You can sign up right online, folks, to become a prayer partner with Michelle, and we're going to talk more about what she's doing at the UN. Next week, we've been covering a lot of administration issues this hour, some current events. We'll talk more about United Nations and some Israel-related issues next weekend. Again, we offer CDs, or you can re-listen to all programming either at olivetreeviews.org or at oneplace.com. Let me go out of the program just saying that God has you on assignment. You are here for a reason. We are on a rescue mission to rescue as many for eternity's sake as possible. Headlines are not harbingers of doom. They are a herald of His coming. If you have an eternal perspective, there is no darkness that will overcome you. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.